Let me suggest a metaphor here. The Olympics are a mosaic of the physical capabilities of human beings. If we look at it that way, if you put all the different events together, and maybe even synchronized swimming, I don't know. If you put all the different events together, what you have here is a mosaic of the total physical capabilities of humanity. This is what we can do. We can run, we can jump, we can throw, we can do all of those, we can do all of those things. We have all of these physical capabilities. This is, each one, of course, is only a single tile in the mosaic, but you put the whole thing together, this is what we are physically. The sciences, I would like to suggest, are a mosaic of our cognitive response to experience. When you put all the sciences together, physics and chemistry and biology and archaeology and anthropology and sociology and economics and history and linguistics and economics, when you put all of those together, and we have by no means covered even the appropriate, the major subdivisions in that, but at least we've gotten some general conspectus. You put them together, you have a mosaic of our cognitive response to experience. That seems to me a very beautiful picture, a very beautiful image. There is a wholeness there, which is what motivated our looking at all of the sciences, the physical, life, and social, rather than to focus on the most dramatic, the ones that that have the most cultural drama associated with them. But it's not just cognitive. I think that science is not merely a cognitive response to experience, and the history of science in the 20th century has given us some insight that we didn't previously have to subtle processes about how scientists work. It reminds me of what I believe in art is called bricolage. It is a technique of making a work of art out of materials that are lying around, of creating a work of art by taking bits and pieces of things that are already there. And we have repeatedly seen how scientists have taken bits and pieces of mathematical techniques and ideas from failed theories and ideas from successful theories and have put them together in ways that have created new theories that were fundamentally new intellectually and more powerful and more explanatory. So there is a bricolage and therefore an aesthetic dimension to science that goes beyond a merely logical cognitive response to science. And that seems to me a very lovely thought to entertain, and again, one that was revealed to us by the history of science. Let me close with the following observation. At the end of the Odyssey, Ulysses arrives back home. He finds his wife has been waiting for him faithfully. He has a certain problem to take care of in terms of these irritating suitors who have bedeviled his wife for the previous 20 years, but he dispatches them. And at the end, he and his wife are together again in love, and his son Telemachus is there to succeed him, and all is well. He has become much wiser for his journey of 20 years, 10 years fighting and then 10 years struggling to get back home. This is very different from the scene at the end of James Joyce's novel Ulysses, when Leopold Bloom climbs back into bed, the bed that he left about 18 hours before. He's back home all right, and he's back in bed with his wife, but he is no wiser whatsoever than he had been 18 hours before. That's not part of the Odyssey as Joyce modeled it in his novel Ulysses. I hope that as we now sort of moor at your home port at the end of this particular Odyssey, you have found some insights into science, into the ideas of science that have proven to be illuminating, and that you are indeed wiser at the end of this survey than you had been at the beginning.
We hope you have enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses series. Our courses are available to order online. Visit our website at www.teach12.com or call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-TEACH-12. Thank you very much.